Well, but you remain standing just a little bit longer. Actually, you may be seated. I'm all muddled up today. Praise God. Just a few announcements before we get into the Word of God. But coming up at the last weekend in July, our ladies will be having a camp, a ladies' camp, and that's going to be held at Stanwell Tops, which is just up the escarpment from Wollongong. And so that's going to be a great time. Ladies from all around Australia are going to be coming and gathering for that camp. So if you would like to be part of that, details are available from the church office, or you'll be able to grab one of the flyers that are out in the foyer. So ladies, you don't want to miss out on that. And then the weekend after that, our men are going to be having the men's camp. And that's not at Stanwell Tops. That's actually really close by. It's out at the Cotter, Green Hills, which is just past Coombs and Wright, just probably about 15 or 20 minutes from here. Our men will be having the camp. So I encourage all the men to be part of that. And Brother Aaron Bryan is our men's director. So I'd just get him to stand. If any of the men want to attend, you can ask Brother Aaron. But also there's a flyer out in the foyer. He'll be able to give you all the registration details so you can be part of the men's camp. Praise God. Also, coming up, and I need to remember the date of July, the 25th of July, is it? 23rd of July. I'm just winging it here again. 23rd of July, our youth are having a festival, Winter Fest. And so we've got so much talent. You might have already noticed as we had our worship service, the amount of young people that we've got involved, but also all of our youth across our youth group are going to be involved in various arts through drama, singing, all sorts of things. So it's going to be a great night for all of our young people. They're going to put that on, Winterfest, but it's not just for them, it's for all of you. And so it's going to be a fundraiser for the youth ministry. And so parents, of course, if you want to be a good parent and your children are involved, then make sure you come along and join in and enjoy your children's presentation. But then for the rest of the church, come along on that Saturday night. It's going to be at 5:30 p.m. and you're going to be blessed as they praise and worship God, as they give of their talents to the Lord. And we thank God for our young people. Amen. And then tomorrow night, we have our ladies' prayer meeting, which is on Zoom on Monday nights. From 7 o'clock, our ladies are going to be gathering together for Daughters of Zion, which is a time to pray for your children. And so mums will be on there praying for their children, grandmothers, aunties praying for the children from 7 till 7:30. And so you can join online via Zoom. So go into your prayer closet or your prayer room and turn the Zoom on and join with ladies from the church for that special prayer meeting. And then after that, ladies from all around Australia will gather for a time of prayer. So don't miss out on that, Daughters of Zion and the Women's Ministry Prayer. It only happens once a month, so don't miss out on that. Praise God. Well, if you can stand once more and turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 137. And we need to keep Sister Robin Yerbury in our prayers. She's been unwell, and Brother Ray Bennett, we continue to pray for them. But I ask you also if you just keep me in your prayers. In about 2.5 hours, the plane will be lifting off from Canberra Airport, and I'm going to preach at a regional conference in North Kalimantan in a place called Tarakan, and that's Indonesia. And I'll be back on Friday morning. It's just a 3-day conference that I'll be ministering there. Brother Alex will be coming with me as well. And I'm glad to have one of our young people traveling with me. And Brother Akbar will come as well. He's Indonesian, so he's going to be the interpreter. And so pray for him. He's actually with his parents in Jakarta at the moment, getting ready to go across to Kalimantan. And he's busily brushing up on his Indonesian. And he tells me that there's a certain way. You know, when you read the Bible, it's like a different sort of language, you know. So he has to re-familiarize himself. And for those of you that speak other languages would know that it's a different sort of talking than just the usual talk. And so pray for us and pray that God would protect us, that we would be well, not get sick. Amen. Psalm 137 and verse 1. And I'm still on the same theme and very much linked to this baby dedication today. I bring this message, Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive, for those that took us captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They're captured, they're in captivity, and their captors come and say, we want you to sing a song. And their response was in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Everyone say, a strange land. How can we sing in a strange land? We've already hung up our instruments. We've already stopped worshiping. We're in a strange land. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And then I read this during the dedication, Ephesians 5 verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want to minister on this title today, Songs in the Strangest Times. Songs in the Strangest Times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We just thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for this gathering today, Lord God, and we turn our attention to your word right now. Lord God, I pray that you would speak. Turn me into a microphone from heaven. Lord, help me not to be any distraction today for what you want to do in people's lives and in people's hearts, Lord God. Let our ears be ready and our hearts ready to receive what you're going to speak to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Songs. Songs in the strangest times. Songs in the strangest times. And I once again just want to welcome all of our guests that are with us. And it's good to see Brother Demas and Sister Therese here. They've been away for a while. Welcome. We read in our text in Psalm 137. It tells of a point in Israel's history where they were taken captive. Now, it's not a very nice thing for a nation to be taken captive, but this account in Psalms tells us of a time when Israel had been taken into captivity. They were deprived. Everyone say deprived. Their homeland had been taken away. They were taken away from God's gift for them. They had, because of that land that God had given them, they had lost their sense of identity. And even as they were taken captive, their captors would often change their names as well. Taken from their homeland, taken from everything that they knew, taken from, maybe we could call it their promise. And it was through, the reason why they were taken captive is because they had fallen into idolatry. They had started worshiping idols and sinfulness, and they had backslidden. They had turned away from God. And so they were in captivity for 70 years. Everyone say 70 years. And so they found themselves in a land. A strange land. They found themselves in the strangest of times. And they found themselves in a land where people had nothing but contempt for God. They found themselves in a land where people had nothing but contempt from God, for God. And I just happened to notice over the last couple of days since the census details have come out, the media just can't stop talking. And I heard it on the radio this morning. They're still talking about it. God is dead, you know. Religion is dead. Church is dead in Australia. And we live in a nation now. I'm sorry to say, I've been around long enough to see the change, but we live in a nation which very much has a contempt for God. And so the children of Israel had fallen into idolatry, and they had been taken captive and taken away to a strange nation, strange times, a place where they worship strange gods. And they were in a season of weeping and suffering. Everyone say, season. And because of the weeping and suffering, they had hung up their harp on the willow tree. Now, the Bible is full of symbolism. All the way through the Bible, you will find symbolism. The palm tree speaks of happiness. Willow trees speak of sadness. And we know, just think about a palm tree for a second. And you picture a desert island and a hammock and a coconut with a straw in the top of it. That's the palm tree. It stands upright. You know, it moves and sways. It stands upright. But the willow tree, if you've ever seen a willow tree, there's a few of them around Canberra. They droop and they lay their leaves down. And so they had hung up their harps in the willow tree. And the Bible says that they are weeping because of the strange land and the strange times. And then the Babylonians, their captors, come to them and say, come on, sing us a song. And it's hard to sing a song when you're going through difficult times, let alone in captivity for 70 years in a country that has nothing but contempt for God, taken out of your promised land, taken your identity taken away, your name changed, and the captor says, come on, sing us a song. I said it in the 9:15 service, sometimes life can just turn up and slap you in the face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been through some trials in life and some problems and some circumstances? Anyone here? Or you're all on Easy Street? Yeah, we know what it's like. I can see those hands. And so sometimes life shows up and slaps you in the face. And sometimes, I'm sorry to say, sometimes it happens for no reason at all. And sometimes it happens because why? The decisions that we made. Life can twist and turn. You see, the word life is defined as the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. That person has life. And that's a good definition, but I think I would, you know, in my 44 years of living, I think I would define life a little bit differently. Life is about, really, about learning how to deal with things you didn't plan for. That's very much what life is about, because life can come with many twists and turns. Life can come with many different circumstances, and every tragedy and every difficulty would be so much easier to manage if we could be pre-planned for it. If somehow, Sister Sue, we knew what tomorrow held, and we knew what next year held, and we knew life would be so much easier if it was pre-planned. But life, everyone say life. Life comes at us unannounced. It comes at us unrehearsed, and life can even come at us uninvited. I didn't ask for this. Yes, life can happen very uninvited. And sometimes, yes, like I said, it just shows up and shocks you, rudely shocks you. And sometimes in life, we can find ourselves in the strangest of places, in the strangest of times. Now, I love playing the piano. You know, I play the piano since I was just a young 6-year-old. You know, I've got a picture up there, I think. That's my mum making sure I'm doing my piano practice. Now, the piano, if you're a piano player and you've been playing as long as I have, 38 years playing the piano, you'll know that the instrument becomes part of who you are. In fact, I speak the language of music. And I never really understood what that meant, the language of music, until I started playing the piano and then preaching. Because it would take me 5 minutes to learn to speak properly again, because I had been thinking in the language of music. But I thought about that when they're in that difficult time, and I can't imagine anything happening that is so bad that I said, you know what? I can never play that instrument again. I just can't bring myself to playing the keys. I can't bring myself to playing a song. I can't bring myself to going back to that instrument. I can't imagine life getting so bad to say, you know what? I've been so hurt. I've been so devastated. I've lost my song. I've lost my music. I've lost my worship. And I'm just going to hang up that instrument. And that's where they had reached. They were in the strangest of times. They sat under the willow tree. They wept. They hung their harp in the willow. They just couldn't sing anymore. They hung their instruments up. They're under the willow tree, a sign of weeping and sorrow. They said, I'll never worship again with the joy of the Lord. I just can't. Things are just too hard. This strange land. Let me tell you, there are times like that that we're going to face in life where those things seem to just engulf our souls. Grief. Grief. And I know and had my fair share of grief and loss. And grief can come from so many sources, but it almost always involves a loss. And in those times, they're so strange and they're so hard. And here they are. They had had the loss of their homeland, their promises, their identity, the loss of their name. And here their captors coming and they're saying, can you just sing us a song? And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And maybe you've been there, because church can be a happy place when we're singing and rejoicing, and singing and songs have a lot to do with happiness. When we're happy, we sing. When we're happy, and so sometimes when we come to church, we say, you know what, I'm just feeling too down to go to church. How can I sing a song when I feel like this? I tell you, the best place to be is in the house of God when you're going through a downtime. The best thing to do is to sing a song. Don't hang up your harp in the willow tree. Don't stop singing praises to God. You may have a bad day, but God doesn't have a bad day. He's still worthy of the praise whether you're having a bad day or not. Singing a song in the strangest of times. And so, you know, when things change from positive and delightful to uncertainty and mystery, where are you, God? Where are you? When things get difficult, we think, well, why would God allow this to happen? And when the enemy comes in, like the captor, the Babylonians, the enemy comes in and says, Mika, just hang up that harp. Alpha, just hang up your guitar. Just stop playing worship to God. Sister Davina, just stop singing. How can you sing a song? How can you praise God in church when you've been had such a hard week? And the devil begin to make you feel very comfortable about that, because there's part of us that says, you know, I deserve just to have a pity party at least 1 or 2 weeks. And I've seen people like that in church. They sit there like, I'm not going to sing. I don't feel like singing. And you know, the devil will come and he'll say, don't worry. You don't have to sing. Just stop praising God. Don't come to church anymore. Don't join the worship service anymore. It's a strange land. You know, the devil will come and say, why don't you just give up? Why don't you throw in the towel? You don't have to sing. You deserve just to be sad and depressed and get yourself down. And here they are. They hung up their harps. They're weeping. I want to remind you today, the words that you read through the whole account of Joseph. And I challenge you to read about Joseph in the Bible, because you see, Joseph had a dream. What a great dream God gave him. But then everything, somebody said, went to custard after that, all right? Everything went terrible. He gets thrown in a pit, gets sold into slavery. They lie about him, cheat him, all those things. But through the account of Joseph, you'll read these words all the way through. And the Lord was with Joseph. I think 6 or 7 times I've got them highlighted in my Bible. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And I ask you, do you think that Joseph knew that God was with him? Maybe. But I surely think that he went through some strange times. When he's sitting in the pit, how did I get here, God? You gave me a promise. But the Lord was with Joseph through every trial, through the pit, through being sold into slavery, through it all. God never left him. The Lord was with Joseph. And I've come to remind somebody today, God may be silent, but he's never absent. And when you go through the test, the examiner may be silent, but he's still in the room. God is with us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. When you find yourself in a strange land, I tell you, God is there with you. Even Jonah was in the belly of a whale. He found himself in a strange land. And he said, God, I cried out to you from the belly of hell, and you heard me. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, worship is not just something we do. Worship is a powerful weapon. I preached in 9:15 service that there is victory in your mouth. So there is a place that comes along when we're confused and anguish and all those sort of things. But then there is a time when God says, enough. Worship is not something that you just do. Worship is a powerful weapon. It tells the devil, you may have thought you got me, but I still got my praise. I'm still going to worship God. I'm still going to look to God. Yeah, I may be in a strange land. Yes, I may be going through some difficult times. Yes, the devil may be taunting me, but hey, you know what? I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to sing a song in the strangest of times. I'm going to sing a song in the strangest of lands. And so Lucifer, if you think about Lucifer when it comes to music, he was the archangel of worship up there, and he even had music in him. He was over the heaven's worship department, and he knows more about worship than any of us. And he knows that if he wants to defeat us, then he needs to disarm us of our worship. He knows the power of worship, so he knows that if you can worship God, that you're going to have power to overcome him. And so he's going to come and try to disarm you of your praise and your worship. Why? Because praise and worship will bring the victory. It was praise and worship that brought down the walls of Jericho. Satan knows that your worship is a weapon, and he wants to get you so discouraged that you lose your song. How can we sing in the strange land? I can't go back to that harp anymore. I can't play that thing again. I'm not even going to sing another song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, praise and worship is powerful. But it's more than just singing. Everyone say singing. We worship God through prayer. That's part of our worship. We worship God through thanksgiving, saying thanks to God for everything he does for us. That's worship. We worship God through music. You don't have to even have words to the music. You can just worship God with music and with dance. You can worship God with remembrance. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits to me. You can worship God by remembering his goodness. You can worship God through your giving. You can worship God through your serving. You can worship God through your words. And you can worship God through the lifting of hands, the Bible says. You can worship God through the clapping of your hands. You can worship God by bowing down and kneeling and dancing. Let me tell you, when we begin to worship, we invade the devil's territory. We begin to start playing offense. And I tell you, church, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Everybody say conquerors. Everybody say victors. Okay, I'm not in this game for a nil all draw. I'm not here just to play defense. I'm not here just to make it, but I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I've come to win. I tell you how we win. We win through praise and worship. We win by glorifying God, not looking at our circumstances, but keeping our eyes on God. In First or Second Chronicles chapter 20, we read about Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, he was being surrounded. He was the king of Israel, but he was being surrounded by enemies from all around him. And he said, God, we can't go against this multitude, and we don't know what to do. And the Bible says he set himself and he looked to God. We need to set ourselves. When we feel surrounded, when we don't know what to do, we need to set ourselves and say, I am putting my trust in God. Jehoshaphat says in 2 Chronicles 20, there's spears and there's a sword and there's weapons of war. And the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, you will not fight with those weapons, but you will put praise singers and the musicians out on the front line. And he said, worship will be your weapon in the battle. And so they went into battle. And who was at the front? Was it the tanks or the bazookas or anything like that? Or the Navy SEALs? No. Out the front were the worshipers. Because that's how we win the victory, through worship. Don't hang up your harp in the strangest of times. Don't stop worshiping God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop worshiping God in your difficult times. Then we keep going to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. And that, what were they saying? Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Were they in church? No. They were in the middle of a battlefield. And they're praising God. Don't hang up your harp. Keep singing the songs of praise and worship, even in the strangest times. How can we sing a song in a strange land? Yes, we can. Don't let the devil rob you of your song. Okay, so what about our text? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Yes, life happens. Yes, sometimes it's because of our own decisions. Sometimes it's because God even allows us to go through difficult times. Sometimes it's because someone has hurt us. Sometimes it's because we hurt somebody. Or sometimes we think somebody's hurt us. No one is exempt. Strange lands are going to happen to us all. But I want to remind you, situations change, but God doesn't. Situations change, but God doesn't. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. My mom used to tell me all the time, your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. And even when I was a young boy, I used to remember my mom always saying, you just got a bad attitude. Hey, what do you mean, mom, a bad attitude? I mean, you got to be so careful about your attitude to everything. Got to be careful about your attitude to work, your attitude to other people, your attitude to yourself, your attitude to your circumstances. Your attitude, you got to make sure you don't get a bad attitude, because if you get a bad attitude, you're going to start going down. But your attitude determines your altitude. So the better you got a good attitude, you can be going through difficult times and you can still be flying up here, Brother Maxwell. Why? Not because life is great, but you refuse to get a bad attitude over it. And you're going to keep your eyes on God and say, you know what? I got a bad day, but God doesn't have a bad day, and he's still worthy of the praise and all the worship. How did we get here? Well, that's irrelevant. The most important thing is, what are you going to do now that you're there? How do we get in a strange land? That's irrelevant. The most important thing is, when you find yourself in a strange land, what are you going to do? I want to leave you with some things that you can do in the strange land. The first point is, when you're in a strange land, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Just because your geography has changed, your genealogy hasn't changed. That doesn't mean, just because you've changed situations, that you have changed who you are. You are still a child of God. You are still bought with a price. God still has a purpose for your life. When you go into a strange land, you must not be defined by that land. Remember who you are. When you go through difficult times, don't lose your identity. Don't let your times define who you are. Remember who you are. And one thing the devil wants to do is he wants us to question who we are. Well, God, I know you're good, but why am I in a bad situation? I thought being a Christian meant that everything would be a bed of roses. I have no problems, just nothing but favor, the favor of God and all these sort of things. Yeah. Sometimes you're going to go through difficult times, but you're still a child of God and the favor of God is still on your life. And you say, well, how? Well, Paul went through a shipwreck. He floated in the water holding a piece of wood. He gets bitten by a snake. It just happens to set up an island-wide revival on the island of Melita, a shipwreck and a snake bite. And we say, oh, that's terrible. No, he was in the favor of God. That was God's will. It set up a revival. That's exactly the purpose that it brought about. And so remember who you are. I am Jonathan Downs. I might be in Canberra today, this morning, and I'm going to be in Indonesia tonight, but it doesn't make me a stranger. I am still Jonathan Downs. I may be in a strange land, but I'm not a stranger. Just because I'm in a valley, I'm still a child of God. Just because I prayed and I didn't feel God doesn't mean I'm backslidden. Just because I still got some problems, it doesn't make me a hypocrite. The strange land must not change our identity. Write this down. Your geography may change, but your genealogy doesn't change. Remember who you are. The second thing, and it's kind of like an emphasis of what this whole message is about. Retain your ability to worship. You cannot allow your whereabouts to determine
your worship.
Don't let your circumstances affect the atmosphere of worship. And as a pastor, I'm privileged to know some things that people go through in their life. I'm privileged to be involved and to help and support and pray for people that go through very difficult times in their life. But I am also privileged to come to church and to see those same people. You know what? You would never have guessed what their week held. You would never have guessed what happened yesterday. Why? Because they haven't lost their ability to worship God. They come into the house of God and say, you know what? I'm in a strange land, but I'm still a child of God. I still got breath in my lungs, and I'm going to worship you, God. Don't let the atmosphere change your worship. Don't let the atmosphere change your praise. You're still a child of God. Retain your ability to worship. And you know what? The captors came and said, come on, sing us a song. You see, they forgot first who they were because they're in a strange land. And then they weren't able to worship. And there's times, I know, there's always times where we're so tempted to put down our harps. Yeah, it happens. It happens. We are through difficult times. You don't just wake up one day and say, you know what? Today is the day I'm just going to give up on God. No. Just like living for God is a process. Backsliding is a process as well. You lose this and then you lose that. Let me tell you, do not quit. You may be in a strange land. Don't quit. Don't put down your worship. You see, they wept and then they hung up their worship. They sat down. Notice those words in verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. They sat down. They said, you know what? Can't do this anymore. You see, sitting down is a passive position. Standing up. We read in the Bible when they're getting ready to go in the battle, it said, stand and see the victory of the Lord. Stand therefore in the liberty. Stand, it's offensive. Don't sit down. Heard people, I just want a break from God for a little while. No, let me tell you, when you feel like that, that's when you need to get closer to God. That's when you need to worship God and praise Him even more. Paul and Silas didn't lose their ability to worship. Making melody. I said this in the devotion when I was giving the baby dedication. Making melody in your heart. And Paul went through a lot of things. He says in Ephesians 5 verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I knew Paul as a missionary. I knew Paul as a writer. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, I think something like that. But this is the first time I ever thought about Paul as a singer. Because he knew how to worship God even in a strange land. Singing and making melody, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He kept worshiping. Listen to what he went through in 2 Corinthians 11. It says, beaten with whips and rods, stoned, shipwrecked, perils in waters, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils among false brethren. He goes on to say, in weariness and pain and hunger, thirst, cold and naked, he still kept humming a song. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in his heart. He still had his song. In spite of everything he went through, he still kept humming a song. And you say, well, what was he singing? Well, I think I found the words here. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I'm not a very good singer, but maybe that's what Paul was singing. Because he went through all of those things, and he still had his ability to worship God. Come on, you can keep worshiping God in the strangest of times. You can keep worshiping God in the strangest of lands. Whatever your circumstances are, don't lose your ability to worship God. And as I finish, and I call the musicians here to come and play. They were there in the prison house, Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. And at midnight, when their legs and their arms were fastened in the stocks, and they're in the jail, and the door was closed, and they're on those cold, hard stones. They've been thrown into jail. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and began to praise God, and the prisoners heard them. Talk about a strange land. Talk about strange circumstances. They began to praise God. And then what happened? So they began to praise God. It was an audible praise because the prisoners heard them. Paul was making a melody in his heart. But Paul and Silas, they began to pray out loud and began to praise God. And look what happens. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Praise brings the victory, church. In the strangest of times, don't lose your ability to praise God. Let's all stand. The last one, when you're in a strange land, and I hope you, all the theologians are ready for this one. This is really deep. It's going to take a lot of study, and hope you've got lots of letters after your name. When you find yourself in a strange land, the last one is refuse to stay there. Refuse to stay there. Just because you're in a strange land doesn't mean you will always be in a strange land. I want to tell somebody today, there is a dawning of a new day. There is a dawning of a new day. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of His people. How many times do we say that? In a church service, God inhabits the praises of His people. Now, think about that. If God inhabits the praises of His people, okay, then all I need in a strange land for it to become no longer strange is for God to be there. Think about it. Can you get it? If I'm in a strange land and everything is strange around me, if I want God to come there, when God moves into that strange land, it's no longer strange. But how do I get Him there? He inhabits the praises of His people. God comes and dwells in the praises of His people. And so if you praise God, He comes and dwells there. There is no, it's no longer a strange land, because why, our God is there. And so don't let the enemy of your soul tell you, because you're in a strange land, that you're a stranger. Don't let your geography change your genealogy. Don't lose your ability to worship. Don't hang up your harp. Don't hang up your praise. Don't hang up your worship. I know somebody here today has been through some strange times. I want to tell you, the victory will come through praise and worship. Remember who you are. You are a child of God. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He purchased the victory for us at Calvary. We are more than conquerors. Remember who you are. Don't lose your ability to worship God and say, you know what? I refuse to stay in this strange land. Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? I'm mindful that there are people here today in all sorts of circumstances, going through trials. Some people here are in strange times, strange lands. Oh God, but Lord, You are faithful. You promised You'd never leave us or forsake us. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And I pray for every heart in this place today. Lord God, that we would not stop praising You, that we would not allow our circumstances to identify us. Lord, we would not allow our geography to determine our genealogy. Oh God, we are Your children, or we are loved by You. We are favored by You. We are blessed by You, God, and we give You praise today. Hallelujah. Come and lift up your voice just a moment, church. Just receive what God is speaking to us in this house. Just receive it right now. The word has been preached. The word has been spoken. Now begin to apply it to your heart. Begin to move your lips and open up your mouth and say, God, I praise You. In the middle of this strange land, in the middle of this strange time, I'm going to sing a song. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to have some practice doing that right now. We're going to begin to praise God. Find me in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to You, God, for dear life. The desert's not going to take my song. And somebody here today needs to say, the strange land is not going to cause me to hang up my heart. I'm not going to let any rock cry out in my place. Let's worship the Lord.